What's up, Atlanta? Happy Monday with Turtle on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight with you for E Put 'Em Up, the full four. Got you till 6 o'clock in for the boys on Dukes and Bell today. Man, has anybody calmed down yet? What a weekend of college football. That was epic. That was awesome. That was phenomenal. I mean, just game after game after game after game after game after game, leading all the way up until a classic last night, the reincarnation of Catholics and convicts, and it lived up to the billing. Our old friend Carson Beck getting in the fray, emotional after the game last night, 27-20 final there, leading the team to victory. And it was just a perfect encapsulation of why college football is so awesome. Started on Friday night with our boys in the yellow. Can they make a run? Producer E is with me today, and we're going to talk about that later in the show. With Clemson losing to LSU 17-10 the way that they did, and Georgia Tech and Haynes King putting on a fireworks show specifically on the ground, can Haynes King lead the Ramblin' Wreck to an ACC title? I don't think it's ridiculous to say that at all. I mean, Florida State's going to obviously have something to say after they took care of business versus Alabama. E, let's pour one out one time for our good old buddy Jerome out there listening right now on the Odyssey app. If you're a Dukes and Bell listener, you know Jerome, and you know he was probably texting Carl all weekend, and Mike Bell especially, Florida State fan. Yeah, how hot is that seat getting real quick for Mr. DeBoer out there in Tuscaloosa? It was just a phenomenal weekend. Of course, UGA does what they need to do. They take care of Marshall. They route him. Gunnar Stockton looks really good. The running game looks rejuvenized. Hey, how about this, E? Wide receivers caught the ball for Georgia. What a novel concept that is, right?
And ran after the catch.
I mean, my good, I almost couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Looked really, the Georgia offense looked very, very good. Still some question marks on the O-line, but the future is very, very bright.
Yes, I am much less concerned about just the overall basic functionality, let's say, of the Georgia offense as they meander through their schedule here. Things will get ramped up pretty soon. In just a couple of games, they'll get their first test, and we'll see if it looks like it did on Saturday. But just an absolutely awesome, epic weekend of college football. Again, E and I are going to, a little bit later in the show, give you our, I wouldn't say prediction, because it's too soon for that. Let's call it potential prognostication. How about that? Our potential prognostication based off of what we saw for Georgia Tech, what we saw for UGA, and then what we saw from the rest of the college football landscape. Based off of week one, just how far do we think these teams can go? And then tonight, you get the Belichick Bowl. All eyes are going to be on the sidelines because I think, E, if we ask the audience to name a Tar Heel, that would be a very difficult question for most of the audience, I think, including
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, including myself to answer that question. So,
is Ronald Curry still playing?
Yeah, I mean, is Mitch Trubisky still hanging out over there?
There's one.
Yeah. Sam Howell. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what Belichick does tonight, and then a bunch of other games that are worth talking about as well. I mean, you had some teams that you knew were going to take care of business, do just that. The top of the ranks like Oregon and Penn State, you know, running over their opponents. We mentioned LSU pulls out a tight one versus Clemson. We talked about Alabama and Florida State. Michigan did what they had to do. I don't know if that's really going to matter, to be honest. I still think they're ranked way too high at 14. Florida looked really good, but they played a school close to me, Long Island University.
We talked about that all weekend, man. You know what? First off, hey, guys, you know, I'm back in my regular seat. Chris, I'm tipping my hat to you, man. I did 4 hours Saturday and Sunday. How you do it 5 days a week, brother? I give you all your props.
Well, it's the job. I mean, it's the job, man.
But, man, I was – by Sunday when I say goodbye
– you gotta create that content, baby.
But as I was joking all weekend, I didn't know Long Island had a shark problem.
Yeah, Long Island.
Yeah, yeah, the sharks.
Yeah, man. And they looked like fish out of water, pun intended there, against Florida losing 55-0. Gator on shark crime there. And then, of course, there was the piece de resistance on Saturday after a beautiful tribute to Coach Corso. You send him off in a great way. ESPN pulled out all the stops, as they should have. That was awesome. And then really an interesting game that I don't think anybody saw coming. Defensive struggle for – or defensive battle, I should say, for both squads. Sayin looked like a guy who had never played before at times. At times he made some really good throws. He's raw, but he's talented. You can see that. And the same thing goes for your Arch Manning, who I think people obviously based on the – expectations, the preseason accolades, all the endorsement deals. At one point, it was people were tweeting out, it's like Arch Manning completions, 3. Commercial seen in, 3. It was pretty funny because it was abundantly clear that he has been the star of the offseason for college football. It was him and it was Travis Hunter with the Nissan Heisman House commercial where they're taking it on the road. That was shown. Oh, and that one and the Meghan Trainor State Farm commercial with Patrick Mahomes that was funny the first time I saw it, but by the 15th time I saw it, not so much. But that game was interesting because it really showed you that both of these quarterbacks have a long way to go. You saw flashes. Arch had a couple of beautiful throws down the sideline, but he tried and he tried and he tried again. And he was, you know, 40, 50% accurate on balls down the field, and you got to be better than that. And he finishes up the day with a very pedestrian stat line and a very pedestrian performance. So we'll see. But again, Ohio State's defense might be, you know, a top three unit in the country, led by Caleb Downs in the back end, who is arguably the best defensive player in the country. So it wasn't exactly like he was going up against, no offense, Georgia, but Marshall, you know, he was facing an elite defense. And Texas's defense, we know, is elite as well. So for Julian Sayin and company, they, you know, they were able to run the ball a little bit, but then eventually the tide swung back, and it was a grind of a game, which I think if you polled, you know, 1,000 football fans, the overwhelming majority of them would have said, we would have seen a lot more offense. I think we were all expecting a lot more offense. And we'll see if those two offenses can do a little bit more as the season progresses. So a really, really fun weekend of college football that we'll continue to break down. We'll have Bill Bender coming up in the 3 o'clock hour at 3:20, Sporting News, senior writer, to break down everything further. What does he think about the potential of Georgia and Georgia Tech after week one? Want to switch gears and talk about the Falcons. Everybody, we made it. Game week, baby. I can't wait. I'll be hanging out with you after the game, taking your calls on the flyover, starting on Sunday after the post-game show. I am beyond excited to do that. And we get things going. So here's my question. And I thought John Fricke did a good job. Me and John Fricke usually on the opposite ends of conversations and topics, but today I was listening and I was like, hey, that's kind of exactly where I'm at right now. And that is the following question. After everything that's happened over the past couple of weeks with the Falcons fans, let's be honest, let's have an open and honest conversation as game week 2025, week one begins. After losing Caleb McGarry, after dealing with the Darnell Mooney injury, after seeing Jalen Walker miss a lot of time in the preseason, and naming two rookies in Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman as starters, let's have an honest conversation, shall we? At 404-726-0929. Are you more nervous or are you more excited for Sunday at 1 o'clock? Let's have an honest conversation. Because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a lot more nervous than I was a couple of weeks ago before this McGarry injury, before Mooney missed all this time. I know he was back at practice. That was a great sign. But is he going to be able to ramp back up into game shape this week? We'll see. How much run does he get in week one? Who steps up in his offense? And let's be honest, Tampa is the four, it's crazy to say, four-time NFC South defending champions. Four. It's crazy. Is this the year that the Falcons finally dethrone the Bucs? So with everything that's happened, let's keep in mind, though, too, Tampa without Tristan Wirfs. That is a huge deal. That's their Caleb McGarry. That's their blindside protector. So they're going to be running a backup offensive lineman out there as well. So you tell me, 404-726-0929. Is it more nervous energy or are you just excited to get this thing rolling? Because I think there's an argument to be made for both. It's been a crazy couple of weeks at Falcons camp. A lot of unexpected things going down. Again, you're starting two rookies at the back end of the defense, Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman, who you drafted them for a reason in the third and fourth round. You have McGarry out for the season, so it looks like it's going to be Elijah Wilkinson, at least at first, getting those reps. We'll talk with Joe Patrick later in the show, see what the latest is out of Flowery Branch in terms of that position battle. And then you have Tampa, who's dealing with their own set of issues on the offensive line. You took care of them last year. You certainly did. But it took, if you remember, it took a franchise day from Kirko to beat the Bucs. He threw for 500 yards and set the franchise single game record. So it wasn't exactly like a cakewalk. And they're the four-time, albeit it should have been the Falcons last year. We all know that. But it wasn't. Four-time NFC South reigning champions. So let's chat. 404-726-0929. Got plenty of time this first hour to take your calls. Where are you at? Is it more nerves because of everything that's gone down with McGarry and Mooney and the rookies getting the nod? There's a lot of question marks going into week one. There's a lot to be positive about, of course. Penix and Drake and Bijan, Caden Ellis, Jesse Bates. There's a ton to be excited about. But this is not an easy opponent, obviously, for week one. This is also a situation where it's obviously not a must-win game, but it sure feels like one, right? It sure feels like one. You need this to establish the tone for the division, to establish the tone for your season, and to establish the tone for Michael Penix Jr. All right, your calls when we get back. 404-726-0929. More nerves or more pure excitement and adrenaline heading into week one versus Tampa? We'll take your calls next. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle in for the boys on Dukes and Bell with you till 6 o'clock. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas Turtle in for the boys on Dukes and Bell today till 6 o'clock, hanging out with you live in the Key Studios. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. Going to take your calls in just a second, but I want to invite you to go vote on the poll as well. Check it out at CT Tonight. 929 is the brand new show Twitter account. Thanks to everyone who's followed it so far. At CT Tonight 929. Do you have more nerves or excitement heading into Sunday for the Falcons versus Tampa? First batch of votes is in. Going to give you the early poll results right now. Overwhelming. 63 to 37% say excited. Good. Confidence should still be high. Just because the Falcons lost Caleb McGarry and Darnell Mooney's been banged up does not mean that this team should still not have high hopes and high potential for this season. Now, Tampa specifically, we know the unique set of challenges they present, but as I mentioned in the opening segment, they're also without their blindside protector in Tristan Wirfs. And if we're going to be completely honest, Tristan Wirfs is a multi-time all-pro at what he does. Caleb McGarry is a very good player. He is not a multi-time all-pro tackle.
Yeah, Caleb McGarry is not in the who are your top tackles in the NFL conversation. Tristan Wirfs might be the start of that
Trent
conversation.
Williams. Mm-hmm. Who do we got in Detroit that we could have had?
Oh, the kid from Oregon. Yeah,
yeah,
oh,
exactly. So there's a bunch of a bunch of people out there that you would argue you would put ahead of Caleb McGarry. There's not a lot of people that you would put ahead of Tristan Wirfs. So,
all right, before I get, are you still putting Jake ahead of Caleb? Is Jake Matthews our vet? I mean, 10 plus years.
Yeah, I think this is year 11 or year 10. Yeah.
I would still say he's still a better all around tackle than what Caleb is.
For sure. For sure. The one thing I will say, though, and then we'll get to your calls again and go vote on the poll at CT tonight, 929. Do you have more nerves or excitement heading into Sunday for the Falcons versus Tampa? Again, excited leading the way, 63 versus 37. Jake Matthews is still a very, very good player. And I'll say this to back Caleb McGarry. His run blocking stats and numbers are through the roof. He's one of the best in the NFL at doing that. No holds barred, no questions asked. His pass set ability is heavily scrutinized, but if you really do a deep dive, it's not as bad as people make it seem like. People make it seem like Caleb McGarry is a turnstile at right tackle when it comes to pass sets. And it's just not. He's not great by any stretch of the imagination, but is he garbage? No, not at all. He's average or maybe even a little slightly above. But I would not say by any stretch of the imagination that Caleb McGarry is a turnstile when it comes to pass blocking. So, again, and don't make it out that I'm saying it's going to be easy to replace him. I'm just saying the Falcons have their own set of problems, but for the Bucs, trying to replace what Tristan Wirfs means to that offensive line is a huge task as well. Because, again, he is, if not the best in the league, for sure in the top three or four. All right, 404-726-0929. Again, the question is simple. Do you have more nerves because of everything that's gone on in the past couple of weeks, couple of months in Falcons land, with some bumps in the road, some unforeseen injuries, or are you just excited through the roof about the potential of this team, injuries and everything else, be damned? 404-726-0929. Let's start with Kevin in Madison. Kevin, go ahead. What do you think? All right, let's go to Scott in Atlanta. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Scott?
What's up? First, I want to say, as an Auburn fan, we had a great win against Baylor.
Yes.
And it's nice to see Alabama in shambles. And that's just great after all the success they had under Saban. So as an Auburn fan, I love to see it. Before I answer the question about the Falcons season and the nerves versus excitement, I wanted to ask, did you see the proposed trade that was put out there into the ether about Darnell Mooney and a third-round pick for Tyreek Hill? Did you see that?
I did not see that, but
an interesting trade that I think.
Yeah, you know. Listen, is it the craziest thing in the world? No, but do you feel, Scott, I mean, do you think Tyreek Hill, here's the question, right? Do you think Tyreek Hill has fallen off that much?
Well, to answer that question, a lot of people are saying for in the future, Mooney's younger, blah, blah, blah. But I guess it depends on if the Falcons coaching staff and front office thinks they can contend for a Super Bowl right now. If they think that and they think Tyreek Hill could push him over the edge, make the trade. If we're too many pieces away from that, don't. That's what I think.
Yeah, I just think at the end of the day, Scott, and I'll let you get to your Falcons point. I think at the end of the day, the Falcons have a really good thing right now. And I'm not saying getting a player who was voted the number one player in the league a couple of years ago is not a move you should absolutely consider making. But this locker room is tight. The players all really like each other. They play hard and for each other. I don't know, Scott, if I want to disrupt the apple cart. But that's just me.
I hear you. Okay, as far as nerves versus excitement, I guess since we've been away from Falcons football for the entire offseason, I'm excited about that. But I'm definitely cautiously nervous for this Tampa Bay game, because I think in the back of all of our minds, we know it's going to come down to us versus them for the NFC South. So it's not like we're getting a potential cupcake here to start the season. We're getting Tampa Bay, and I don't think that – I mean, I hope we're vastly improved on defense, but I don't think that they're necessarily going to rattle Baker Mayfield. He's played a lot of football. He's a smart quarterback, and he can make all the throws, and he's kind of mobile. So I think that Tampa Bay is going to score some points. You know, as a Falcons, diehard Falcons fan, it was nice to hear – well, not nice from a humanity side, but nice from a opposing team's perspective to see that they were out without Chris Godwin, but then they've got the emergence of that new wide receiver, Amika Ibuka, or however you pronounce his name. So I think that they're gonna score some points, but it's gonna be a strong opening test in week one, and I think we're gonna know a lot more about this team after week one. But I'm very nervous for this particular game. As far as the season goes, I've seen a lot of people say that we have a pretty manageable schedule. So I think from a schedule standpoint, it bodes well for us. But I think from a opening game standpoint, there are definite nerves about, you know, what we will look like against a pretty solid Tampa Bay team. So that's just my take. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott, appreciate it as always, man. Thanks for checking in. 404-726-0929. A couple of things there to chew on. I don't know, man. Scott, you think the Falcons' schedule is manageable? They got some tough, tough games. Again, you open with Tampa at home, then your prime time against Minnesota, who I don't know what they're going to be, but they're going to be decent at least, and you got to go in their building in prime time. You got the Commanders 2 weeks after that, followed by the Bills and the 49ers and the Dolphins back to back to back. Patriots could be a decent team. Colts, Panthers, Saints, you should win. Jets, you should win. Seahawks is a toss-up. Bucks again. Cardinals, Kyler Murray gives you fits. We know that from the past. Rams are going to be good. And then you finish out the season with the Saints, and that should be a win. Easy? No, not at all. I don't think this schedule, Scott, unfortunately, is going to be anywhere near easy. But in terms of the excitement versus the nerves, it's perfectly okay to feel those nerves. Scott, I think it's perfectly fine. Because a lot's gone down in Falcons quietly. Braylon Trice is hurt again. I mean, there's a lot that's gone on in Falcons land over the last couple of weeks. He hurt the same knee that he hurt and had to have surgically repaired. So, again, I'm not just sitting here painting rainbows and unicorns and butterflies. There's a lot to navigate for the Falcons, but I still think they're going to have a very strong team and a very strong season. Let's go to Richard in Gwinnett. You're up next. Richard, what do you think?
Hey guys, I need some optimism from all the Falcons fans, because you know it's unknown. We're walking into the unknown, and I just want to remind you that, you know, even with like the Michigan sign stealing scandal, like they didn't even win all of those games. Like you still have to tackle, you still have to do all the things, even if you know what play is coming. So like teams that think that they're going to be at the top, they still have to play the game. So, you know, I think a lot of Falcons fans just kind of count us out sometimes, just looking at stronger teams like Philly or something like that. But, like, have some faith. And also, I want to point out that we need other stuff. So I need you to do your, you know, spin in a circle three times and do your dirty bird. Whatever. I don't know what it is. I don't care. Everyone's got a thing. And I need you to do it, because all of this stuff matters. All the little things like that matter. I've got a fantasy team. I won last year. Let me tell you how I play fantasy, and that's it. I don't draft any NFC South players that aren't on the Falcons, and I don't start anyone if the Falcons are playing them that week. So if I've got someone on another team, I don't start them if they're playing the Falcons. Like, do whatever you need to do, because this is our year, but you need to believe.
No, Richard, I appreciate it, man. That is, talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face, man. What if Mike Evans, a guaranteed 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown receiver, is just sitting there for you, and you pass on him because, no, I say, but hey, Richard, whatever makes it work for you, man. That's what we're all here for. We're all sports fans, baby. That's what it's all about. Let's finish up with Trenton in Atlanta. Trenton, more excited or more nervous, man?
Chris, how's it going, man?
What's up?
Man, I'm excited through the roof, baby. We went into Super Bowl this year. I don't care about all the bumps in the road. This Sunday, yes, the game isn't mandatory, but if we can come in there, beat the Bucks in our division, get the city of Atlanta with the energy going, it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, Trenton, I appreciate it, man. I agree. It's this game. Trenton's 100% right. There's really no overstating it. This game's really important. You're at home, 1 o'clock, lights are going to be on, shining bright in your face. What do you do? There's going to be a lot of people watching this game, both locally and nationally, to get an idea of what the Atlanta Falcons are going to look like. Because I think if there's consensus on one thing, is that there's not consensus on the Falcons. I've seen 8 wins. I've seen 10 wins. I've seen miss the playoffs. I've seen win the division. There's all over the place, just depending on which prognosticator you look at. I made my official prediction a couple of weeks ago. I have this team winning 11 games. I may look stupid at the end of the season. I may look like a genius. But I believe that they can. And even with McGarry out for the year, I still don't think it's going to be a crippling loss for this team. All right, great job on the phones, 404-726-0929. Got another segment here to take your calls and go vote on the poll as well. Do you have more nerves or excitement heading into Sunday for the Falcons versus Tampa? Let's give you a refresh on the poll before we take a break. Ah, how about this? With more votes pouring in, it's now a lot closer, 53-47, excitement to nerves. So a lot more people are starting to weigh in on the nervous front. Your chance to do so on the phones, 404-726-0929. How you feeling, Falcons fans? You more nervous because of everything that's gone on the past couple of weeks at Flowery Branch, injuries, etc.? Or are you just excited to see the potential of this team in a great measuring stick game at home versus Tampa? We'll do that. We'll take your calls. We'll also get into some headlines. What did Kirby Smart have to say after the win on Saturday? You hear that next. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 6. It's a toughie. It's been a brutal couple in terms of figuring out the final roster spots and dealing with the Caleb McGarry injury. For that, they made it through. We're ready to go, and game week is here. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle in for the bell till 6 o'clock. And then how about this? A little switcheroo. Producer E is going to come on over to the other side and pick up the pieces of the mess that I made for an hour here on Sports Radio 9. How about that?
Did a little bridge to the game.
Yeah, how about that? So anything that he doesn't get out during the next 3 hours and 20 minutes, he can certainly partake with you at 404-726-0929. Again, polls up at CT Tonight 929. If you haven't given the account a follow, that is where all things Chris Thomas Tonight get posted single evening before, during, and after the program. Question tonight is a simple one. Do you have more nerves or excitement heading into Sunday for the Falcons versus Tampa? Polls close. Excited or nervous are your two choices. It is 55-44% excited, meaning injuries, drama, everything else that's going on at Flowery Branch. Is Mooney going to be 100%? Is he not? McGarry's out. Is it Wilkinson? You get two rookies named starters in the back end and Billy Bowman at nickel and Xavier Watts at the corner spot or safety spot, excuse me, Jesse Bates. So there's a lot going on at Flowery Branch, but has it deterred you to swing you from being excited to nervous? Go vote on the poll at CT Tonight 929. At CT Tonight 929. We're also taking your calls. call the show at 404-726-0929. Appreciate everybody who checked in. Last segment, if you weren't able to get in, give us a call at 404-726-0929. Plenty going around the sports world, so let's hit some headlines now as we continue to discuss the Falcons, college football, and everything else going on in the world of sports. Before we get back into the football, E did want to mention Chris Sale made his triumphant return to the mound. Looked pretty dang good.
9 strikeouts?
Yeah.
Three hits allowed?
In 6 innings.
Problem is, we can't swing the bat against Philly.
And you know what's ironic, too? The Braves have been playing their best offense of the season by far the last couple of weeks. But you go up against the big dogs, and you remember why this team is 13 games under 500, and the Phillies are going to win the NL East. And Kyle Schwarber is having, a top 5 Phillies offensive season of all time?
I think he just hit another home run. What?
Yeah, bing, dong, yeah, seriously. Dong. I think he has like 52 already, something like that. It is absolutely crazy. We know they got the lineup of Harper and Castellanos and Real Muto. And they just picked up, Walker Buehler from the Red Sox. And they're going to see if they can reclaim him. So imagine that rotation, you know? Just, geez, even if Wheeler's not 100%, or even if he misses the rest of the season, they're still going to be very, very strong. But shout out to Sale. He made his triumphant return. I've been saying this all along, E. What's your take on this? Because I know they're not going to do it, but yes, it was great to see Sale back. It was great to see that the injury seems like he picked up right where he left off, which was, because if you remember, he was going to be an all-star. He was an all-star. He was going to be in the Cy Young contention again before he got hurt. It didn't look like he missed a step.
No. I mean, that was a rib injury. It had nothing to do with his arms.
Nope.
You know, I mean, that pretty much was like, you probably could play through this soreness, but let's sit you down, let this heal, because, you know, anybody ever had an injury in that area, it's really easy to re-aggravate it.
Yeah,
so they gave him 2 months to say, just rest it.
You can't bend,
exactly,
which is a problem if you're a pitcher. You know. But here's my thing. I didn't need to see him, to be honest. I just don't. I'm glad we're not seeing Riley again. Like, put these guys on ice. Put them on a shelf. And I've gotten the argument. So many people have hit me up at CT Tonight 929. Turtle, it's baseball. They got to play. No, they don't. They don't. You're not going anywhere. The only thing, and again, it's not even like any of these guys are going for individual accolades. I've said that before. If Ronnie was in the MVP race, if Sale was in the Cy Young race, if Austin Riley was in the Gold Glove competition, okay. All right, you can convince me, I guess. Because an individual accolade is still important, and it still pads some of these future Hall of Fame resumes for some of these guys.
Well, I would say this. Sale wanted to go out there and show that he could throw 90 pitches and that he was healthy enough and that the injury was healed, okay? Now that, okay, guess what? You threw 90. Your stuff's still electric. Your swing and miss rate was off this world. Now we can say, well, you know what? You don't need 5 more starts this year.
No.
I'll start you once a week just to give you some work, and you're on a pitch count because we're not going anywhere. But for his own psychology, for his own mindset, for his own, hey, I just don't want to doubt myself at all, he probably was like, good, I'm glad we got through this. Use me when you want me now. So
same thing for Strider.
Okay, well, you know he goes today.
Yeah.
Okay, and you got a great guest coming on.
Yeah.
And ask him about what Strider's been up to. He's got great information.
Okay.
There's a tease.
There's a tease for you. We got Lindsey Crosby coming up right at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, one of my favorites. I just jumped on his podcast a couple of weeks ago. Now we're bringing him on my show, a little home and home with our boy Lindsey Crosby, doing a daily Atlanta Braves baseball podcast. All right, let's get back to some football here. Raheem Morris. This was something that when Caleb McGarry first went down, I posited with you here on 92.9 The Game, is this something the Falcons would consider doing? And ultimately, the conclusion I came to was no. And that is taking Matthew Bergeron, where he's really excelled at the guard spot, and kicking him out to tackle to fill McGarry's hole. I'm not going to do it. And here's why. You're upsetting the apple cart. You're paying 2-for-1 prices, and not in a good way. Meaning you're now upsetting the interior of your offensive line and the exterior of your offensive line for one move. Where if you keep Bergeron where he is and you try to plug in a Wilkinson or the guy they brought over from Seattle or a Parker, you can save yourself the headache of having to potentially deal with two positions on the offensive line that are being upset. And what's the word for offensive line that I always say to y'all? Continuity. Continuity. That is the number one thing when it comes to offensive line. And if you're taking Bergeron, who's used to playing where he is now, and putting somebody else in there, and putting somebody else at right tackle, that's a lot to think about. But Raheem Morris was asked, would you consider taking Bergeron out of guard and putting him at tackle?
Always have to have that on the table. You know, Bergeron's one of those guys that if something were to happen in game when you don't have all the guys up and, you know, one or two injuries happen, that's always got to be something that's in consideration. That's always got to be something that's thought about. And we know he can do it.
Yeah, he did it in college. He was very good at it, but they didn't have a need to bring him over to tackle when they drafted him, so they kicked him inside, and he's excelled at it. He's become a really good guard. But are you going to do that to mess up the continuity, that word again, of the offensive line? I wouldn't do it. Raheem Morris was also talking about Jalen Walker. I mentioned earlier in the first hour here that, you know, when we're talking about nerves versus excitement, he's a key cog in that because he missed a lot of time this offseason dealing with some injuries. So how up to speed in a Jeff Ulbrich defense is Jalen Walker? I don't really know. I didn't see enough of him in preseason to really get a good read one way or another just how ready to go this kid is, and Raheem Morris was asked about it.
Jalen Walker's doing great. Had a couple really good days of practice. You know, obviously held him from that last preseason game to get him ready for this moment, for this game. For this part of our season. So I'm really excited to see him going, and he's doing really great for us.
I hope so. I hope he's ready to go. Another guy that we've been questioning as well is Darnell Mooney. How much has he improved since the injury? How close is he to 100%? How many snaps is he going to be able to give you week one? I don't know. These are things that we're all waiting on bated breath to see. But Michael Penix Jr. was talking about Mooney and how he's been putting in the work to come back.
It's good, man, just to see his progression, you know, how he's recovering, you know, and, man, he takes it serious. You know, I see him in that training room, you know, all day, every day, making sure that he can get back healthy for this team, and we can't wait to have him back come game day, so.
I hope he's close because you're asking a lot because, again, we all assume Tampa's going to score some points, right? We know about that offense, even without Tristan Wirfs. They got a great receiving core, great running back duo, great tight end in Otten who gives the Falcons fits. So we know, and Baker, who was an all-pro last year. So we know that they're going to be able to put up some points. The question is, can the Falcons match tit for tat? Darnell Mooney, being healthy as much as he can be, is a huge way in ensuring that that happens. Is Casey Washington, David Sills, who are the guys that are going to step up, the guys that made the roster? Ray McLeod, dare I say Kyle Pitts? Oh, my goodness, the taboo word. Kyle Pitts, can he be a big factor in week one? We'll have to see. How about Kirby and the Dogs? They did what they needed to do. First cut from Kirby is interesting here. I thought they did a nice job mixing up the pace with the run game. They used a bunch of different backs. I mean, was it perfect? No, but I thought you saw the makings of a successful formula with Frazier leading the way, and then guys like Cass Jones subbing in and a bunch of guys contributing, a nice little stable of backs that they have there. But Kirby says, we got to be better running the rock.
Some runs we worked really hard on in the offseason were big for us. We got to continue to improve in that area and be more consistent and take the lost yardage plays out of it. Those were the drive killers when we had negative runs or lost yardage plays.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he needs to say something, right? You win the game 45-7. I guess you got to nitpick about something. But I thought their at least the game plan of the way that they ran the ball was pretty good. He was also talking about Gunnar Stockton and his ability to impact the game with his legs.
So the idea is if you can use the quarterback to run the ball, it adds an extra element and it makes it harder to stop the run. You're seeing that across college football. I saw it last night in Auburn game, Georgia Tech game. When you got a quarterback that can run, guys, running the ball is easier than throwing the ball. But running the ball in some conferences is harder than others. There are no free yards in football. You earn everything you get. So when you have the extra element, it certainly helps. But you got to be smart about it too.
Yeah, and I think Gunnar Stockton's going to prove week in and week out that his ability to run the ball is going to be a big key for them on offense, especially in short yardage situations. He's a tough guy. We saw that last year. Remember that hit that he took last year? Oh, my goodness. He almost got his block knocked off, but he was resilient. All right, one more before we get out of here. Speaking of Gunnar, he was talking about, hey, man, listen, I'm just steady as she goes. I don't listen to all the outside crap.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to it. You know, I just care about the guys in our facility, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, and that's him. He's soft-spoken. He's short but sweet, and he's just going to go in there and rally the troops and lead them. All right, that is a look at the headlines from over the weekend. Again, we wrapped up the college football weekend that was in the first segment. Some big victories, some tough losses, but we'll get more into that coming up next hour with Bill Bender of the Sporting News. When we get back, what are the five biggest potential concerns heading in to week one for the Atlanta Falcons? I have a list. Producer E has a list. We'll compare, we'll contrast, we'll exchange notes and see what are the five biggest question marks for the Atlanta Falcons heading in to week one on Sunday versus Tampa. You don't want to miss that. And then Bill Bender coming up at 3:20 to recap an extremely exciting week one of the college football season. 1 hour down, three to play. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 6 o'clock in for the boys on Dukes and Bell Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.